Well, not today, but 2 days from now is the anniversary, the 45th anniversary of the passage of Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972, significant law that has had a really profound impact on colleges and universities. And we think about it in terms of college sports first and foremost, but colleges and universities in general. No person in the U.S. shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. That's the gist of it. That is, in fact, all of Title IX. But that one sentence has had a significant impact, and we are talking about it this week as we get to the 45th anniversary. Dr. Deb Stroman of the Kenan Flagler Business School at UNC right now is at a national conference, Women in Sports and Events. That's organization has a Raleigh chapter, which she is the co-president of, and she joins us now on the air to talk about sports, beginning with the anniversary of Title IX. Dr. Stroman, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a great trip here to the great New York City. So excited to be a part of WISE, Women in Sports and Events. As you noted, it is definitely the leading organization, the leading voice and resource for professional women in the business of sports and events. But it's exciting to be here. There's a star-studded event going on today, the symposium, where we have the leading folks from around the country that are sharing their best practices and lessons learned, and it closes out with a master class. So it was really good to see Buffy Philippel being recognized. She's one of the WISE Women of the Year. There'll be a luncheon for her tomorrow in her other award winners, but Buffy and her company called Team Work Online has been a great partner to UNC. Her company helps connect students, business people with jobs and internships in the sport industry, and it's considered the number one placement company for people interested in the sport industry. Also, it's good to meet Kim Stone. She's actually a Tar Heel alum, and she is the executive vice president of the Miami Heat and the general manager of the American Airlines Arena. So she does amazing work in this industry, and it was good to meet her, meet a fellow Tar Heel, and hopefully we'll be able to bring her to campus this fall with the Basketball Analytics Summit.
Awesome. And again, that conference is going on right now, and it happens to coincide with what this year is the 45th anniversary of the passage of Title IX, June 23rd, 1972. And I know we wanted to talk about this, and there has been a really profound cultural shift in the U.S. in the last 45 years, even independent of Title IX, but the existence of this law has independently had a really significant impact, and again, not just on sports and the participation of women in sports, but on colleges and universities in general, right?
That's exactly right. Many people like to focus on how Title IX has helped break down barriers in sports for women and girls, but there are other areas where Title IX has been very, very influential and helpful. For example, it opens the doors for girls to pursue math and science, and we know everyone is talking about STEM right now, fair treatment for pregnant and parenting students. And lastly, which is a very, very important topic that we continue to discuss in education, is bullying. Title IX helps to protect students from bullying and sexual harassment. When I think back growing up outside of Philadelphia in a very sports-rich area, just thinking about the resources that were available to us as girls, everything from the uniforms and the equipment, but also having a sports bus that would be able to take us home after practice. And I know there are some communities across the country and here in North Carolina where there isn't a sports bus, and that means for many minority, low-income girls, boys, that they aren't able to participate in sports because their parents aren't able to pick them up. So that can make a difference. And then certainly going to University of Virginia, just looking at how having Debbie Ryan, Hall of Fame coach, being related to the athletic director at the time, Gene Corrigan, who had come from Notre Dame. But having Debbie Ryan there and then Terry Holland, who was the men's basketball coach, I remember Debbie Ryan in her very confident and bold way, when it was time for practice, she would actually say to Coach Holland, "It's time for us." And I think that spirit, which I'm sure was based on her relationship with the athletic director, but also the power of Title IX, that we could actually ask a men's basketball team in the ACC to get off the court so we could play. So certainly lots of memories. One other I'll mention is Val Ackerman. I think most people in the sports world knows about Val, first WNBA commissioner, right arm to David Stern at the NBA, and current commissioner of the Big East. She actually shared a scholarship with another teammate. So it was kind of amazing to think today, with having 13 scholarships for women in Division I college basketball, but back then there was actually sharing of scholarships.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman again, Kenan Flagler Business School up in New York City right now at the Women in Sports and Events Conference. We're talking about the 45th anniversary of Title IX. So you've talked about the experience of women in sports, especially in those years immediately following the passage of Title IX. What do we know sort of statistically about the way that Title IX changed the landscape of college sports and opened it up to women? What was the actual tangible impact?
Well, there's no doubt whenever you have major legislation that affects, makes like a cultural shift across America, we always have to think about or take the time to pause and say, how did it get that way? What was the history behind this? And so in America, way back when, we're talking 1800s, there was this thought that physical activity, that type of movement, could actually affect you, whether that's physically or mentally, and in particular for women. And we know that there was a sense that if a woman were to work out too much, it could actually hurt her and hurt her menstrual cycle. And so this just played out and played out. So girls were playing intramurals. They would have play days or be able to participate in sorority-type activities, but no real heavy competition. Mm-hmm. Eventually, these things started changing. More and more women were noticing how the boys and young men were playing. So then there was the opportunity to maybe join a men's club, but you weren't a full member, but you could compete a little bit. The NCAA was developed. And then there was a thought, well, we need a governing body to be parallel to that. And I remember when I first started playing basketball in college, we were actually a part of the AIAW, which was the women's governing body. Then there was, some people would argue there was a coup, but the NCAA really saw the AIAW as a threat in terms of more and more women were participating in sports. And so then the NCAA basically took over or bought out the AIAW. And so today we see that in college sports, unless you're in the NAIA, you're a member of the NCAA for college activities. One remnant of that is when you hear on college campuses the senior woman administrator, that was the position that was designated to protect women in sports, women in administrative positions. As in, the senior woman administrator exists today, and at UNC it's Nikki Moore.
She does
Nikki
a lot.
Nikki Moore is that position. Exactly. Moving Nikki Moore from WCHL into athletics. But Nikki Moore actually is our senior woman administrator at UNC. But we knew that when the NCAA took over women's sports, there was a chance that women would not even have an opportunity to be in administration. So here we are today with this important legislation. It's made a difference, no doubt. Girls and young ladies are participating in sports now in the millions, and many people would attribute it because of this this law that basically requires people not to discriminate, to provide the same benefits, and to provide these opportunities. I do want to make note, though, of the Javits Amendment as a part of the Title IX legislation, because sometimes people think that everything has to be exactly equal dollar for dollar. But this Javits Amendment outlines that you can have differing costs of equipment and event management expenses. So if a football player's equipment costs X amount of dollars, it doesn't mean that the female soccer or field hockey has to have that same expenditure. the idea behind the Title IX in this area is that it has to be the same quality. So you can't lessen the quality for girls and women.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Strom and again, Keenan Flagler Business School. We're talking about Title IX, also mentioning the WISE Conference, Women in Sports and Events. If you're listening out there and you want more info, wiseworks.org is the national website for women in sports and events. So you can get online and check that out. Dr. Strom, we got to let you go in a minute, but before we do, let's actually turn attention to men's basketball just as we wrap up, because recruiting season is over. We got the NBA draft almost literally just around the corner on Thursday, but ended up being a pretty good recruiting campaign for Carolina with Cam Johnson heading over from Pitt. What do you make of the Tar Heels next year, and what do you make of the Tar Heels tomorrow in the NBA draft?
Well, first talking about the draft, we're hopeful that we'll get at least one player in the first round. It's going to be challenging, though. That will be Justin Jackson. We know we have Isaiah Hicks, Kennedy Meeks, and of course Tony Bradley, who decided to come out after his first year. So we're hopeful that we'll have at least one first round draft pick, but to have these four young men to actually have this opportunity at this level to get a tryout, to get a workout, to even be considered for the draft, again, just speaks to Coach Roy Williams' program and the wonderful coaches and administrators there. Also, I did get a chance to speak to Nate Britt yesterday. He's excited as well. Probably will not be drafted, but he knows that he will be going and playing in Las Vegas this summer. July is the big month for summer league for players who are trying to make it, whether it's the D League or the NBA. They have locations in Orlando, Utah, and Las Vegas. So we'll get a chance to see Nate. So tune in. It will definitely be on television. The NBA has now created more inventory with their summer games, so we'll get to see Nate trying as well. I'm excited about men's basketball. What started out as a very good class is now, people would say, a very strong, outstanding class. And as you mentioned, Cam Johnson transferring from Pitt, which people will say he can fill in from with Justin Jackson's spot because they're about the same height, the same build. But Cam has experience, whereas a first-year player, you know you have to get used to Coach Williams' system and, of course, how rigorous the ACC competition is. Another person I want to mention that we're really happy to have is Kenny Smith, former All-American UNC. His son is a walk-on, yep. KJ Smith. He's going to transfer in from Pacific University, so we're excited to have him join the Tar Heel family. But definitely an outstanding class. And I think the number one player that everyone's excited about is Jalen Felton. He's a five-star player, definitely NBA potential right now. He's going to make a very, very fine addition to the backcourt for the Tar Heels.
Again, going to be a good year for Carolina basketball next year, as always. Dr. Stroman, we got to let you go, but thank you so much, Deb Stroman.
Thank you.